We shift our focus now to the art scene in Greensboro, and as you know, a piece of art can take on many different shapes and sizes, can be a painting in a museum, can be a sculpture, but it could be an old cigarette vending machine, or even a giant steel lily with petals made out of coal ash. We will be talking today with two Triad-based artists. First joining me is Clark Whittington. Clark is joining us. He's actually the creator of Artomats for the past 20 years. Clark Whittington.
Thank you.
So, Clark, tell us a little bit more about this, because these are interesting. These are cigarette vending machines that you have repurposed to disperse pocket-sized pieces of art, collection of Artomats that you've grown over the years. And, in fact, they've appeared in the Whitney Museum of American Art in New York City, the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. And now there's an exhibit, 20 Years of Artomat, on display at the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art in Winston-Salem. That's there through the 27th. So tell us more about the Artomat and your cigarette vending art machines.
Okay. Well, I'm a conceptual artist. I grew up in Concord, North Carolina. Went to school in Boone at Appalachian State, and stopped making art for a while, moved to Winston-Salem about the time that cigarette machines were being banned. So in the late 80s, I had a friend who had a Pavlovian reaction to snack wrappers. So he'd hear the crinkle of cellophane and go buy something from a vending machine. And
wow.
Yeah. So it was very Pavlovian. So a lot of my art.
No, let me stop you there. Did you just like walk up and crinkle just to watch him run?
Sometimes, in cubicle land, we would do tests like that, and it was conclusive.
Okay, so anyway, you see this Pavlovian response in him, and so then what happens?
Well, a lot of my art at the time was based on observations, and I sketched in my sketchbook. It sat in there for years till I moved to Winston, when cigarette machines were banned, so that minors couldn't buy cigarettes. So a lot of my art at the time had Polaroid photographs, and they were assemblages on the walls. But for this one of 13 pieces in this coffee shop, I used some of my secondary Polaroids and mounted them on blocks of wood and put them in this old cigarette machine.
That's great. So, and with the idea that people would have to put in some money and get it out, or just...
Yes. It was always kind of made art and had shows on my own, and I was selling things for a dollar then, and people thought they were cigarettes, but, you know, people still do sometimes.
So you got to check out these machines. They're at our website, stateofthings.org, and you can see how they've evolved over the years. But it's kind of fascinating to look in that little window and see these blocks of various forms of art in that cigarette size shape. And now they're going for $5. They were a dollar, right?
Yes. The owner of the shop wanted the machine to stay, so the project went from a me to a we. It was my original piece initially, but I wanted to share this with the world. And 20 years later, we have about 130 machines and about 400 artists involved.
And what kind of art do we see on these?
It's anything that is worth $5 and won't get me in trouble. But it has to be safe. But we have sculpture, we have paintings, jewelry. It's all shown at Sika right now. It's 20 years of what we've been doing.
So. But they've got to be able to, they've got to fit on these little boxes,
yes,
right?
Yes. That's the thing. Initially, I didn't, when a friend of mine said, hey, you should do this idea, he saw my sketchbook. And I was like, well, I don't know. Vending machines are kind of heavy. It's like, well, they're getting ready to ban cigarette machines. I was like, well, still, that's a weird format. yeah. But then he kind of badgered me to do it, and I did it. And now it couldn't be better because, artists, they don't really follow directions. They're free spirits. So the project as a whole, we're very open to different ideas and whatever, but the machines are not forgiving at all. So they have to be the exact size or they won't vend. And that's helped us kind of make it so we can have a network where anyone's art can go in any machine across the country or some of the machines in other countries.
Well, and it's in a couple of, I mean, I think the concept is great because it does get it everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And machines, I mean, this is the ultimate capitalist kind of machine, right? You conform to the machine and you have to make your cigarettes fit the machine.
Yes,
this is what
yes.
capitalism is. We'll make the machine, you all fit that, mm-hmm. the humans. So it's kind of cool that artists would then try to conform to this machine, this kind of capitalist artifact, and come up with a fairly ingenious idea and lots of art.
Yes, I'm amazed of what artists do. I just want any artist to utilize this if they feel they are fit for it. What I've noticed is artists my age who've been out of college for a while, they would sometimes say, hey, I needed an assignment. I was in a rut, and this thing just got me, got the wheels turning, and they make some good stuff.
Make some good stuff. And you've been at the Whitney and the right?
I mean, yes. You know, we were there for about 13 years. Our biggest venue right now is in Las Vegas. We have 9 machines at the Cosmopolitan. So they sell around 2,000 pieces a month, so we need art.
Now, is there a way in which this is some form of commodification where I mean, I don't know how much money you make. It doesn't sound like you can make millions of dollars doing this. But
no, but I've never approached art with money. Actually, I was very anti-art and money back in the late 80s when I was starting a gallery in Charlotte. You know, everything was real corporate, and we didn't like that. We were smashing pinatas full of gravel and doing some pretty weird stuff. Yeah. But then, you know, I never thought art and money would mix. But once artists started to step up, I felt a need to kind of do my best to make it a good gig for them.
But then there is that format. Everybody's got to conform to that one.
Yeah, yeah. You know. And that is the saving grace. It allows us to ship our pieces anywhere.
That's very cool stuff. Well, I want to continue this conversation now with Caroline Armijo. She is an artist repurposing another material, coal ash. Caroline is developing a public art project called Lilies of the Field in Walnut Cove, North Carolina. The installation will use reclaimed coal ash to create large lily flower petals. Caroline, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Lilies of the Field, tell us more. What's happening here?
Well, for the last several years, I've really been an advocate for cleaning up coal ash in the Blues Creek community, but I am an artist, and so in January, I saw a call for entry for a National Creative Placemaking Fund, and so it was just make a 3-minute video, answer 4 questions, and this was the first time I felt like I legitimately could approach the scientists and researchers I've been working with at A&T University about collaborating with them on an art project. And so they were willing to collaborate.
Because they were already doing research on what to do with coal ash, right?
Yes. And we've been organized since 2013 at Blues Creek, and then we got organized statewide in 2015. And so as part of my work with that, I have really been seeking solutions of what can we do with the 180 million tons here in North Carolina. So I had read an article about them in 2014 of the work that they were doing using coal ash. And so that idea lingered with me until 2016. I approached them and said, can you help us make a storage solution? Because we believe that a solid form is the safest form of coal ash. And so at that time, they weren't aware of the community health impacts that were happening. So once they knew about it, they were able to approach it that way.
Well, sir, and I'm guessing they weren't making lilies. That wasn't what were their solutions?
Well, when I first met with them, they were actually creating like chair rails and tabletops and, you know, little finials you would put around your house. And then they're also thinking about it on a large industrial scale. Right. Like what came out of our conversations were these blocks that stack like giant Legos, because I have a small son who plays with Legos. And so they want to use those almost as seawall barriers for when hurricanes come in. And they can also then be reground and used as a raw material later on, but serve as a storage solution.
All right, so tell us about the lilies now. What do we see?
So I really didn't have the nerve to ask them if they would be willing to make art. But so this is a public art installation with 7 16-foot lilies, and they have a steel stem and then a solar component for their stamens, because renewable energy is a critical part of reducing coal ash and our reliance on renewables. And then the process that the researchers at A&T use is to take a mold and just mix the dry coal ash with a polymer. So we would make a giant mold of a lily blossom, and that's how we would get the blossom.
So they worked out, the good news is they worked out this polymer, this process for solidifying this stuff. Correct. Now, let me ask you that. How safe is that? I mean, is it safe to work with this stuff at all?
Well, you know, they've been working with it for 15 years, and coal ash is used in the concrete industry. It's in gypsum. So it's in a lot of industrial uses. So they have assured me that it will be in like a seamless vented process that I, as an artist, you know, I'm not a manufacturer. So, now that they're aware of the health impacts, you know, breathing equipment. And so I'm not exactly sure of the details of the process, but
tell us about the title Lilies of the Field. Where's that come from?
That stems from Jester Harrison. He was born at Blues Creek, which is the location of the area that we advocate for. And he's a famous composer. He wrote the song Amen for the movie Lilies of the Field, for which Sidney Poitier received the first Oscar as being African American.
Amen. It's this song. Let's listen.
Amen. 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 See the baby wrapped in the manger on Christmas morning.
There's a little bit of Amen composed by Jester Harrison from the 1963 movie Lilies of the Field, which inspired my guest, artist Caroline Armijo, who is joined by Winston-Salem-based artist Clark Whittington, to make these lilies from coal ash. Very cool. So then what's the response once people see? Do they know? I mean, you sort of...
Well, I mean, we've had a really great response, both in the community, and we had the funders come out, and they love the project. We've submitted our application, so we learned the official word in December. But, you know, I went through, am I going to do this or not? And so we are planning to continue to proceed and find a way to make it happen. I think a lot of people are really excited about the project and the opportunities.
What do you think about the idea that a local artist, a composer like Jester Harrison, would in some ways inspire a project not only for art but for creative reuse?
Well, you know, the more I learn about Jester Harrison, the more I feel like this is just the perfect dedication to him, because he was a civil rights leader in his own way, and we haven't really recognized him in Stokes County the way that we should. And he would, there is a large plantation there, the Harrison Plantation, with multiple little things, plantations all around. And so a lot of our community members are Harrisons. And he would travel the world and look up Harrisons or white members of his family who were known as the Harstons, and he would go to dinner with them. And so he really worked to kind of bridge this racial divide. And so
we're talking about recovery, reuse, restoring our communities as well as our environment. Clark, what do you think about this? I mean, in some ways, this is a creative reuse for cigarette machines, too, which, you know, did not have the best use for their stated function.
Right. They were all slated to be destroyed. Yeah. So I'm glad that we're giving them another life.
Is there more of this, the art community, the idea that we are looking to both in terms of public art, art for the people, art of the people, and to look at the things within our community that we can reuse and restore? Is that part of a movement?
I think so. I see a lot of artists doing some really wonderful stuff. You know, there's so much waste, so much consumption. This makes sense that... what we're talking about here is coming to play.
Caroline, will there be more projects if this one gets funded?
Yes. I talked to Clark about that today and how, you know, we can make little coal ash blocks to fit in the vending machines.
There we go. We've made a happy marriage here. That's great. Clark Whittington and Caroline Armijo, both artists in the triad. Let's hear it for them. Clark, the creator of the Artomat, old cigarette vending machines to disperse pocket-sized pieces of art. Caroline's project, Lilies of the Field, uses reclaimed coal ash. The installation will be at Walnut Cove, North Carolina. I want to thank you both for being on the program. Coming up, the deconstructed rock music of Melissa Reeves, and you get a little sample right here. Thank you.
Thank you.